Today's Mishnah in Masechet Idiot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Perek Dalet, Mishnah Vav. And remember, we're in the middle of actually 23 different issues that were be unusual. Machlokas and Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, where Beit Shammai was the one who was Lakula, and Beit Hillel was the one who was Lachumra. So, in Mishnah Vav, remember, we're now going to be talking about a concept that we've learned many times. Hopefully Gavi is ready with his special new Gavi Ha'ara pen, and he's got the pen number, and he's going to make sure that we remember that in order to be Machshir L'Kabel Tumah, you have to have Ki Yutan Mayim Al Zera, which is written Ki Yitain Mayim Al Zera, which means that it has to be done with the desire of the person for the Netina. So even though it doesn't literally mean that he has to put the water on, because it's the correct pronunciation is Ki Yutan, but since it's written Ki Yitain, we say it has to be similar to Ki Yitain, namely, that he wants it to get wet. So now the question is, what exactly is considered to be sufficient wanting to get wet when it comes to an issue of olives? Now, olives, you leave the olives around in salt in order to soften them sufficiently, and they start leaking what is called muhal. And you'll remember that the muhal, or sometimes written muhal with a chet, is a it's not oil, but it's a liquid pre-oil. It's not pressed in any way that comes out of the olive. And so there is some question as to whether that would consider to be machshir, the olive, because of its being similar to shemen, which is one of the liquids. So there are two different issues here. One issue is the question of whether muhal is considered to actually be a liquid. And then the question is, if you're salting your olives and you left them around and they're sitting there in that liquid, it doesn't do them any good because it actually causes them to fall apart and to decay more quickly. Now, if your intent is to actually press these olives, then yeah, that's great, because this is the pre-shemen, and that would be fine. But if you're planning on eating those olives, then it's not very good. So if you've got a chavit shel zeitim megulgalim, megulgalim means that you're actually want them to be eating, and they're not edible, really, olives just straight off the tree. So you put them into salt and various flavorings, you know, the pimento, the classic pimento olives, you know, where you put some pimentos in the seeds, charge double for the olives. Anyway, so that's the kind of situation we have over here. So Beit Shammai says, look, nobody wants the mohal in that case. And therefore, he doesn't have to do a maisa to show that he doesn't want it. He doesn't need to make a hole in the container to let the mohal drip out. The very fact that everybody knows that when he's putting it into salt and flavorings like this, it's not meant for making olive oil. So, of course, why would he want them to get wet? So then, even if he didn't show beferish, I don't want this, but it's clear that he wants to eat these olives, then there's no heksher, because there's no ki yutan dumya to ki yitain. Whereas Beit Hillel says, no, you have to take an act to show that you don't want that muhal to be there. If he doesn't take any action, so then we would assume that the olives are actually already muhshir l'kabel tumah. But Beis Hillel is made that, of course, if you did make a hole, and then the hole, which is usually what happens, it gets blocked. And it gets blocked with various sediments from the olives. There, even Beit Hillel is made that it's tahor, because he doesn't have to keep proving it. Once he showed that there wasn't any interest in the mohal, so then it's certainly not considered to be mukshir just because it happened to be sitting in the mohal that he clearly initially hadn't wanted. Now, how about not mohal? How about actual shemen? Now, shemen is often used, of course, in those days. That was the main way that you would you would anoint your skin. They didn't have all types of, products for skin care. The skin care was olive oil, which is probably better skin care than any of the stuff that they sell nowadays. Many people still use it for skin care. The question is, if you've got oil on your skin and you go to the mikveh, what would be the din of that oil? Because remember, the only liquid that you can actually make tahor once it was tameh is water. And the reason that the water becomes tahor is not because you put it into the mikveh and you're tayuvel the water. It's because of the hashaka, that the water becomes part of the mikveh and therefore is by definition tahor, because the ach, bor, mai, and so on, yet tahor. So what happens with the tameh oil that's on your skin? Let's imagine a case like this, where you had tahor oil, nice badatz hachshar, everything's great. Take some of this oil, you put it on your skin, and then you became tameh. Now, if you became tameh, that means that the oil was also mekabel tumah from you. Now, you go into a mikveh, yorad v'tava, and now you come out of the mikveh, and there's still oil on your skin. So I understand that the oil is considered to be bottled to your skin in terms of it's not being a chatzitz or anything like that. So Beit Shammai says, even if there's so much oil that the oil is actually dripping off together with the water when it comes out of the mikveh, that oil is not tameh anymore. Because since it was on your skin and it was bottled to your body, in the same way that it was kosher to go into the mikveh with that oil on you, and because it's bottled to you. So therefore, it also became tahor because it's bottled to you. So it's a brand new din, right? That it's not possible to be metayer through actual tefillah. It's not possible to be metayer oil through hashaka. But if the oil doesn't have an identity separate to your body, then if your body becomes tahor through the act of tefillah, then the oil will become tahor by being part of your body through the act of tefillah. And therefore, it doesn't matter how much oil there is, even if it's dripping off of you, that oil, even now it's isolated, it's off your body, it is tahor. Whereas Beit Hillel says, no. If there's a tiny bit of oil on his body, then yes, it would be bottled to your body, but it would have to only be the amount of kedei sichat eva katan. That's the shear that we spoke about in Shabbos, what's considered to be choshev in terms of otzah. So if there's enough oil that it can be put on a very small part of a body. What's the smallest part of a body? Is the little toe of an infant. That's tiny. And therefore, we're always threatening to eat them. But the point is that that is considered to be the Aver Katan. More than that, if you got more than enough oil to put on that toe, then it's considered to have a separate identity. And it's not going to be bottled because oil is chashev and won't be bottled to your body. Aliba de Beit Hillel. Another case of Beit Hillel, l'chumra. Now, remember that we talked about the oil being tahor when it was put on, and it only became tameh because of the fact that your body became tameh afterwards. How about if you started off with oil that was tameh? So already a shem tuma before it was put on your body. So v'ima yashem tameh mitchilato, then Beit Shammai holds that just like Beit Hillel said in the previous case, if there's more than enough for kidei sichat ever katan, he's also moda that in that case it would be up till kidei sichas ever katan. From kidei sichas ever katan and up, here the oil had its own identity as a tamei oil, and therefore won't become tor agav your body. Beit Hillel says in this case, any amount of oil that is sufficient to make the part, let's say you touch it with your finger and it's enough to make your finger damp from oil, that's already too much. That means it's got its own identity and it will remain tameh. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Bishum Beit Hillel. Not exactly. It has to not only be enough that you feel dampness on your finger when you touch it. It's that if you touch your finger to the area of the oil on your body, then if something touches that finger, it becomes moist from the oil. That's called tofeach almanat lahatfiach. So if it's tofeach umatfiach, this is already not as chamur, but it's still more chamur than Beit Shammai. So this is another lovely example of Beit Shammai being lekula dafka and Beit Hillel being lechomra. Perek Dalid Mishnah Zion. Now, we have over here, are we going too long? No, we're okay, right? So we have over here the famous machlokas that we have mamish right in the beginning of Kiddushin. What is the share of money that is sufficient to create an Isser of Eishes Ish? So here too is one of the famous machlokas in a Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel. Shulchan Aruch goes into the details of what the svaras are. Ha'isha mitkadeshet bedinaru b'shavet dinar. Kedivrei Beit Shammai. So unless you gave a woman a full dinar, which we'll talk about in a minute, a full dinar, it would not be an Isser Eishes Ish. Somebody else could actually take her. And according to Beit Hillel, even if you gave her a pruta, so a pruta b'shava pruta, you would be able to be mekadesh this isha. Now she would be asura as an Eishes Ish. So because of that, it turns out that Beit Hillel is much more chomer, because if somebody gave just a pruta, and that would be enough to turn her into an Eishes Ish, according to Beit Shammai, she's not married at all. So Beit Shammai, once again, is going lekula. V'kama hi pruta, what is considered to be a pruta? So here, of course, we need Dvorah's opinion, because it's 1/8 of an Isra'italki. It's only the Italian Isser that defines what the standard was at the time. An eighth of an Italian Isser is considered to be the pruta of the minimum value, a libra of Beit Hillel. The next case is Nogea, the opposite of Kiddushin, but it's Nogea Gitim, ending a marriage. So according to Beit Shammai, very much Lakula, Poter Adam et Ishto beget Yasham. You can use an old get. What does an old get mean? So some guy is not doing too well in his marriage, and he has a get written for what he considers to be the inevitable, and he keeps it around. But meanwhile, he continues to have relations with this woman that he's married to. And now the problem is that if he ends up using that get maybe 2 years later, meanwhile, he's had a couple of kids, and now those kids come to get married themselves, and they come to the Rabbanut. We want to make sure that you are kosher and, you know, you weren't born from a mamzerus. So they bring the get, and they bring the marriage. They say, wait a minute. This get was given 2 years before you were born, buddy. We just want people to know that you are a bastard. So that's not very good in your profile. I think you have to write your profile, right? So, of course, in those days also with the full picture, fingerprints, listing of where it is you went to nursery school so that you shouldn't be not frum enough to get married and so on. So certainly people don't want to marry bastards, even if let's have it for the bastards from Shakespeare. And there's no real mamzeres, but it doesn't do your CV any good. So because of that, the Rabbanan answered the whole idea, because Shema Yomru Gita Kodem Livnat. Since the date on the gate is going to be maybe years or even decades before these children were born, so it could well be that it has bad implications in people's minds. And therefore, according to Beit Hillel, a get yashan should not be used. Whereas Beit Shammai says, it's not a problem. Beit Hillel Osrim, what do we mean by get yashan? Get yashan does not mean that we need evidence that these people continue to live together as man and wife after the get was written. It's even if he was nityachedima achashekatavola. If he's alone with that woman, and until now, And he's been married to that woman. And that would be enough of a testimony to the fact that they were sleeping together, because after all, they've been married. So, okay, it's going to cause problems. It's a pigam. Obviously, it's not an iser, but it's a pigam. So Beit Hillel says, write a new get with the correct, now contemporary, date. Now, interesting that related to this question is another machlokas. Hamegareshet ishto. Suppose somebody actually divorced his wife. Now the get is finished. Then lanaimo bepundiki, and now they get together and they share a hotel room. So Beit Shammai says, so what? So they shared a hotel room. Why do you have such a dirty mind? Eina tzricha mimenu get sheni? Why should she need a second get? Because what are you going to assume? That they must be in the hotel room, and they must be having relations with each other, and if since he's a fine Jew, he probably intended to remarry her with these sexual relations, which is kiddushei bia. If the witnesses didn't see them sleeping together, then we're not going to jump to conclusions that just because they shared a hotel room and saved $500 is no reason to assume that they're in bed together. Whereas Beit Hillel Omrim, nope, tzricha imena get sheni, it's a tremendous chumrah. So therefore, if he actually had given her a get before, so it may well be that now he wants to take her back. And what we're assuming is if they were in the hotel room together, this is another Gabi rule, hein hein eide yichud, hein hein eide bia. So according to Beit Hillel, you see the two people together in a hotel room, the assumption is that that is the equivalent of seeing them have relations. Fine. Now remember, it's interesting, I mean, there's some achronim that point out that this machlokas is really dependent in the overall question about what should be the basis for divorce. So remember that according to Beit Hillel, there you don't need a basis for divorce. It's, you know, mlotim tzachain beinab. You don't like the way she makes your coffee in the morning. That's good enough basis for divorce. According to Beit Shammai, you have to have serious reasons for divorce. So maybe the two are dependent. I mean, if it was just a matter of the coffee, so why would we assume that he doesn't want to be in bed with her? He may have gone over here. It makes sense that we would assume that they're actually in the hotel room for more than saving money. And according to Beit Shammai, if the guy already made a decision to divorce her, it's highly unlikely that he actually intends to remarry her. Anyway, this is a suggestion of the Achronim. I'm just mentioning it because it's just fascinating how the halacha goes all the way back across the spectrum of the issues of gerushin. So according to Beit Hillel, very machmir, if they've been alone, then you have to assume that they are remarried, and therefore you need to have another get from him. But when do we say this? That Beit Hillel holds that even just being alone it is an implication that they are actually sleeping together. That's only bizman shenitgarsha min hanisuin. We're not talking about any two people that are alone. We're talking about two people that were married and have already established a pattern of sexual relations. So they're okay. If they're used to being man and wife, and now they're alone again, it just sort of taken for granted that that's what it means to be together. If actually the get was given before they even consummated that original marriage, so then even Beit Hillel is moda that ena tzricha mimeno get sheni, because mipnei she'ein libo gasba, he does not feel at ease to take the woman into bed. I mean, he's never done that before, so why would he assume that that's what's happening over years? Even Beit Hillel would be made that we don't say in such a case that hein hein eide yichud, hein hein eide via. Okay, Rabosai, nice additional piece of idiot, and looking forward to seeing you again as soon as it's comfortable. Now, I don't know what it takes for you to be comfortable to get together again, you know. I mean, now it takes a lot, huh? Okay. We'll try to go easy.
takes maybe to put the post in the group. That's all it takes.
Thank you. Thank you. That again.
We're in today.
Lovely. I appreciate that. Kol tov, everyone. Have a wonderful day of Besorah Tovah.